Last week I was really encouraged by Paul's message. If you have a chance, you can go to sermoncloud.com and type in just type in my name, Aaron Santor, and it'll bring you up to all the messages. But if you get a chance to hear Paul Martin's message from last week, it was really great. I enjoyed it as well. He spent a few days with us before he spoke, but he said, "I'm thinking about preaching on this prayer from Ephesians 3." And I said, "That's awesome. That's one of my favorite passages. I love the apostolic prayers, and primarily." The biggest reason is sometimes we'll pray and we're really wanting God to do this, but they're still kind of like, it may not work out. That's still sometimes that element in our hearts. And I love how Paul brought up when we pray the apostolic prayers, we can pray with confidence because Paul never prayed anything that was contrary to the will of God. There's never a question mark. There just never a maybe if or what if God doesn't come through with any of these prayers in Scripture. Paul always prayed for the fullness of God's will. And so when you pray for yourself or for the body or for anyone else, that God would strengthen us with power through the Holy Spirit in our inner man so that Christ would dwell in our hearts through faith, we can know this is God, what God wants. In fact, He wants it for us more than we could ever even want it for ourselves. And so I love the apostolic prayers. And I've given time and will pray many of them over my own life daily. And what I realized on a personal note, what I realized about these as I began to do this was that I know I'm a pastor. I'm not supposed to say these sorts of things, but memorizing Scripture is always just like, to me. But when I can memorize a prayer, then I can engage with it. And I realize that I'm memorizing it, I'm praying it, I'm meditating on it. All this is going on, and it's all Scripture, and it's wonderful. Well, Paul came to me and he said, I want to preach on this prayer. And then last week, Marianne gets up and gives us this encouraging word about praying the word of God over us. And then, of course, neither Paul nor Marianne knew that this week we were going to be looking at another prayer of Paul's from 1 Thessalonians. And so let's pray ourselves, and then we will get right into this word. Holy Spirit, we love you. We bless you. Thank you that you're here. Thank you for your ministry to us. Thank you that you're testifying to us of Jesus. Thank you that you're working in us glory to glory, the image of Jesus, Lord. Thank you that you will perfect and finish this work on the day of Christ Jesus, that despite all our weaknesses, despite all our failures, Holy Spirit, you've never given up on us. You've always been faithful to us. And we thank you that your power, your word, your work is here this morning in your presence, Lord. And we love you. And we ask today that you would give us understanding, that you would fill us with the knowledge of the Holy One, that you would open our eyes and our ears and our hearts to all that you have to say to us today from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So here's Paul's a prayer from 1 Thessalonians. May the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all as we do for you, so that He may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all His saints. And the first thing, we're going to work our way through this prayer today, phrase by phrase, but the first thing I just wanted to highlight, the first thing that stood out to me is that this is the very context of prayer is this, is that we, even if we're non-believers, right, and we're just crying out to a higher power, the very context, the very heart, the mind of prayer is this. I need something that I can't provide for myself. I need something done on my behalf that I can't do for myself. I need that higher power. I need that greater power at work in me for this to happen. Many of us could say, as we read Paul's prayer, he's praying that the Lord will make us increase and abound in love for one another. I'm just going to guess here, but I don't think anybody's saying, no, I've got all the love I need. I don't need to grow in love at all. Many of us would recognize, I'll just confess this morning. I mean, I just lost it on my dog. I just completely blew it because just trying to get this pill down his throat. Just one of those right before we're leaving for church. And you try and give him peanut butter, make him like it or something. So now I've got peanut butter all over my hands, and this dog's just spitting out this pill. ah, right? But we recognize I need something greater than what I have in me. I need a power at work in me that's greater than my own strength and what my own willpower, my own resolve can accomplish. And so this is not a prayer. The appeal of this prayer is not God, or is not, I pray that you would do more loving things. The prayer is, God, would you make them? God, would you cause them? God, by your Spirit, would you do a work in them that would make them increase and abound in love? This prayer is an invitation that God would work, that God would act, that God would move by the power of the Holy Spirit, that He would be continually transforming us from the inside out. Why do we have to appeal to God? Because God is the source of love. God is love. It's His very nature. It's who He is. Love didn't just suddenly happen when Adam and Eve just looked at each other and said, hey, right? That wasn't the source of love. Love is from God. It's His nature. It's who He is. And when we pray that love would abound and love would increase in our hearts, we're asking for His nature to be worked in us in greater measure. Do you know that we're called to be partakers of His divine nature? This is His goal, is that He's actually working more of Himself in us. This is what we're asking for when we pray this prayer, that God would do a work in us of working more of His nature, more of His heart, more of His love in our hearts. He's looking for a work by the Holy Spirit to do this in us. About 18 years ago, we went to go see this movie. And I'll just tell you this. I perhaps have issues. And there's a certain point, there's certain people I've walked with that, you know, they get really into movies. Like, they're emotionally connected and intense with the movie. I, on the other hand, there's a certain point where my mind just kicks in and says, this is make-believe. I'm just keep it at arm's length. I'll feel the emotion briefly, but then I'll say, you know, it's just a story. Keep it out there. But maybe you know somebody. They'll be watching a movie, and then there'll be some sort of scene of injustice, and they'll just, like, pound their fist. Like, that just ticks me off. I'm like, dude, it's Iron Man. It's not real. Like, I know what the alien did was bad, but just let it roll off your back. It's going to be okay. Right? And the same thing with, like, those emotional scenes in movies that tug at your heartstrings. Right? There's a certain point at which I'm just like, you know what? I feel that. Right? I feel the emotion. Okay. But I'm going to keep it out here. Maybe I have issues. But in that, I'll just confess to you, I've never cried in a movie except for one. So 18 years ago, my wife and I, and then this other couple, we went on this double date. We went out for dinner, and then we went to go see the movie The Patriot. And some of you know, as soon as I name that movie, you know the scene that I'm going to talk about here. All right, we're watching the scene. The movie The Patriot, if you haven't seen it, it's during Revolutionary War period, and it's about this father, and he's got these kids, and the father's lost his wife, the mother of his children, and the youngest daughter, out of tragedy, from the trauma, has just shut down, and she doesn't speak anymore. And leading up to this scene, the father's always trying to just playfully with her say, can I just have a word? Can you just say one thing? Can you just say a word? And then he never gets anywhere with it. But he's about to ride off for the epic battle at the end of the movie, right? He's about to leave. And so he's saying goodbye to his family. And he gets down to his youngest daughter who doesn't speak. He gets down on one knee and says, can I just have one word? Can I just have one word? And she won't break. And so he gets on his horse and he's about to ride off. And then she breaks. And she says, don't leave, Daddy. I'll say anything. Don't leave. I'll say anything. All this week while I was preparing this, I'm still feeling it, right? Like, oh. And so there we are in this movie theater. I'm like, what is this moisture coming from my eyes? I'm like, we're just wrecked because the scene is so, we just got ambushed by this thing. I came to see a war movie. What is this? And so Jen and I, we're just like, we're trying to recover. And I look over at our friends and they're just eating popcorn. I'm thinking, I might have issues, but that's really messed up. Maybe they were just stress eating. The difference, we both were married about the same amount of time, both saw the same scene. The difference is this couple, in their minds and hearts, said, you know, we have zero interest in ever having children whatsoever. And just in the last few years, God's blessed them with two children. They're absolutely loving it. And Jen and I, we were expecting our oldest daughter, Cora. And see, what God was working on the inside of us as parents completely changed everything about our response, our attitude, our posture, our mindset, where we were at emotionally in life. Do you know that it's the Holy Spirit that sheds the love of the Father abroad in our hearts? And He actually wants to work in us. He's actually transforming us in love in such a way that we will never be the same again. We'll actually be completely different. We'll be changed. We'll be made more like Him. And Paul prays here, not just that you would, you know, feel a little love, not that you'd get a warm fuzzy, not that you'd be nicer, but I pray that the love of the Father would increase and abound in you. Paul has a prayer very similar to this in Philippians. It says, I pray that your love would abound more. And more. It would abound. It would be without boundaries, without restraint, without restriction. There would be no hindrance to it. More and more. Overflowing. More and more. Abounding. More and more. Increasing. More and more. Sometimes if you're at a restaurant and maybe at a drink station, you'll fill your cup up and you'll get distracted for a minute and a little bit of fluid overflows. You're like, oh, and you pull it back real quick. That's not the picture Paul's praying for here. For something to be abundant, for it to be continually increasing more and more, it means that you're continually being filled. It's continually increasing. It's continually abounding. It's continually overflowing. When Paul talks about being filled with the Holy Spirit, he says, be continually being filled with the Holy Spirit. When we pray this prayer, it's about so much more than just getting a warm fuzzy or being a nicer person. It's about the infilling of the Holy Spirit to the point of continual increase and abundant overflowing in your life. This is a dangerous prayer. This is not just simply, Lord, make me nicer. Help me to like the people around me better. This is about the work of the Holy Spirit in your life in such a way that's going to completely wreck you. When we pray this prayer, this is what we're asking for. And so Paul goes on, I pray, may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all as we do for you. And love is kind of a tricky word, isn't it? Because we use love in a myriad of ways. We love our wives, we love our children, we love this food, we love this show, we love this experience. And so love is very broad in its meaning and its application. I will bring my wife flowers because I love her, and that's appropriate, but for the rest of you, not so much, right? But we have to, the challenge for us today is to narrow down this idea of love into something that's both concrete and that will apply, that will transcend every relationship, every situation. And so since we're asking God to work in us this love, we should probably go to His Word to find out what this manner of love looks like. And John, in his letter, he says, in this is love, not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And then Paul says this in Romans, but God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The greatest display of love that the world has ever seen, has ever experienced, the pinnacle of love from God was the cross. It was that the Father willingly sacrificed His Son for sinners, for those who were in rebellion, for those who wanted to kill Him if they had the chance, the ones who wanted nothing to do with to throw off His rule and His reign on their lives. The Bible calls us, at that point, before we knew Christ, we were enemies of God. The pinnacle of love from God's perspective was the cross, where He sacrificed His Son for His enemies. The pinnacle of love was when Jesus willingly laid down His life for God's enemies. And so when we pray this prayer, we're not asking for a warm fuzzy. We're not asking to be nicer. We're asking the Holy Spirit to come and fill us in such a way that it actually renews our minds, our hearts. It changes everything about us. And you know what's going to happen? We're actually going to start loving like God does. We're actually going to start laying down our lives for his enemies. This prayer will mortify your flesh. This prayer will kill everything that's not of him. It's not just about a warm fuzzy. It's not just about being nicer to people. When we pray this prayer, Jesus willing to lay down his life, he chose to bear the punishment for our sin, to die our death so that the enemies of God could know life. When we pray this prayer too, we'll be willing to lay down our lives for the enemies of God. The motivation behind prayer, behind intercession for the lost, is that every enemy was worth it. Every enemy of God was worth it. And we will actually give our lives in intercession, in prayer. We'll actually forego pleasures, legitimate pleasures. I'm not just talking about sinful stuff. I'm talking about, you know what? Things that you have a right to do. Things that you have a right to enjoy on your own. But the love of God in you will actually drive you to a place of prayer. Well, I will give up my own personal time. I will give up time that I would spend enjoying myself over here because the enemies of God deserve to be shown the love of God. Because it's worth it for him that he would be willing to sacrifice his son to win them back, to reconcile them to himself. I'll waste my life in prayer because it's the abundant, increasing love of the Father in me driving me into that place. We'll be willing to bear reproach, to bear shame, to bear rejection because the enemies of God are worth it. That's the measure of love that Paul is praying for that would be evident in our lives. This is not about a warm, fuzzy feeling. This is not about being nicer to people. This is about the Holy Spirit increasing the love of the Father in abundant ways in your life that will radically change you and radically transform you. Paul prays, he said, I want this to be evident to all people, but also to one another. This prayer will completely turn your life upside down. This life will completely transform your marriage because Paul tells us in Ephesians, husbands, love your wives as, if you know it, say it, Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. I know you're all great husbands, great men of God out there, but I personally don't have the fullness of that measure of love in my life. I need to pray this prayer. I need to let it do some damage to me. I need to let it change me. How many teenagers do we have in here? Right? We got a big one in the back. Right? Let me lay the scene for you. I'm going to ask you a question. I'm going to need some response here. We'll get interactive. So that means I'm going to ask you a question. You're going to need to speak with your mouths, right? I have teenagers, so sometimes you have to throw this in. You say you're at home and you're just doing your thing, watching videos or playing games, whatever. Mom or dad says, could somebody help me with the dishes? Could somebody clean this up? And teenagers, just be honest, don't lie in church. What is the typical response? Just share it out loud. You won't get in trouble. Teenagers. Should I say it? I'm sorry, what was that? Say it again. Yep. That never happens in pastor land. Right? Everything's perfect and shiny and happy. Do you know the most spirit-filled, spirit-empowered thing you can do sometimes is the dishes? The most spirit-filled, spirit-empowered thing you could do sometimes is to sweep the floors. Parents, amen. Come on, that was a softball, guys. Come on. Amen. Listen, do you realize with a love that is ever increasing and a love that is continually abundant, a love that is overflowing will lead you to lay down your life? This prayer will completely transform your family. Isn't it amazing? You'll see somebody just start serving and suddenly you start feeling a little guilty. Like they haven't done anything. They haven't said anything. There wasn't like this pompous look on their face. They're just serving and it hits you here. It will transform your family. You could transform the atmosphere of your home with this measure of love. You could transform the atmosphere of your workplace with this measure of love. We all deal with it, right? It's not my job, not my responsibility. Psh. But that's not the measure of love Paul is praying for the church, is it? This prayer is dangerous to the flesh. This prayer will completely transform your life. I've heard in other churches, not here, that there are immature believers. I know you're all great. I've heard in other churches, but not here, that there are weaker believers. I've heard that there are believers who are not yet set free or never walking in the freedom from sin that Christ purchased for us. Here's the great thing is that this prayer, when God begins to answer in our midst, we'll begin to demonstrate patience with the weaker brother. We'll begin to be kind to the immature believer. We'll actually begin to believe the best, to hope for the best, to keep no record of wrong. This is not about a warm, fuzzy feeling. This is not about just being nice. This is about us being transformed. This is about the love of God actually overflowing abundantly and increasing in a continual way and completely transforming every one of us. And you'll actually begin to lay down your life to see them come into maturity. You'll actually begin to serve them into the fullness of Christ. You'll begin to serve them into freedom from sin. This is so much more than just a nice little quaint prayer. This is going to completely destroy our flesh. And so, of course, that's awesome. But in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, great, I pray this prayer and I got to lay down my life. But there's a reason for it. There's promises for us in it. And I'm going to take a brief detour here, but Paul goes on to say, he says, let me establish your hearts blameless in holiness at the coming of Christ. And we'll get to that in just a second. But see, Paul's got this eternal view. He's got this end game view in mind of why we need to be praying this prayer. And we'll get to that in just a second, because sometimes I find it's helpful if we can focus and see what we gain right now. There's something that we gain in the age to come, but we gain right here and now. And so I'm going to detour from the text just briefly. But as we said earlier, the pinnacle, the highest measure of love that the Father has shown was at the cross. And so Scripture has these things to say. I want to do a little paraphrasing, but I think you'll follow me on this. Paul says this in 2 Corinthians, we are always carrying in our bodies the death of Jesus. We are always carrying in our bodies the full measure of love that the Father demonstrated towards mankind, so that the life of Jesus might be fully manifested in us. Paul says this in Philippians. He says, I want to know him in the power of his resurrection. I want to share in his sufferings. I want to share in the full measure of love that God demonstrated towards mankind. I want to be like him in his death. Some translations read, I want to be conformed. I want to be just like him. I want to be conformed to the full measure of love that God demonstrated in Christ, that by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. When we love in the manner that Paul is praying here for, when we embrace the cross, when we embrace this measure of love in our lives, the life and power of Jesus, it clears the way, it releases power and grace on us as a people. And we get to experience that today. We get to experience that now. This is a powerful prayer that Paul is praying for us here. Our fellowship, our conforming to the full expression of the love of the Father, releases the life and power of the risen Christ to come upon us as a people. But Paul is looking beyond this. Paul is looking beyond today. He's seeing the end game. He's saying, I'm praying that your love would increase and abound so that God may establish your hearts blameless in holiness. Let's say that together. Blameless in holiness. Sends my head spinning. Because when I think about being blameless, when I think about being holy, automatically my mind goes to all the areas that I've goofed up in and or messed up in the past week. You know what? I got to learn to watch my language. You know what? I should probably have done this better. I shouldn't have reacted that way. And I think of all the things I have to do to get myself to a place where I'm blameless, to work myself to a place where I'm finally holy, where hopefully maybe on that day when I stand before Christ and God the Father, that he'll look at me and find me blameless in holiness. But that's not what this verse is talking about. That's not what this verse is praying for. That we would actually stand before Him blameless and holiness because of the love that He put in us, that He began to work in us in the first place. Get this as best as you can in your minds here. Standing before the Holy One, the One who dwells in unapproachable light, in whose light we see light, where nothing is hidden before Him, the One who has eyes of fire, and we stand with confidence, blameless in holiness because of the love that He's worked in us, that abundant, increasing love of the Father. This is just not an ordinary prayer. This is not just about a warm fuzzy or being nicer to people. When God answers this prayer, He purifies us. He makes us holy. He makes us blameless. And we have the opportunity to partner with Him in His work. We have the opportunity. See, ours isn't to create holiness in us. We were never holy. How could we create holiness? How could we somehow discover holiness? We need someone greater than us to do a work in us, to make us holy. All we can do is just give our amen to this prayer. All we can do is say, yes, Lord. I ask that You would cause me to increase and abound in love for one another and for all people. God, I ask that in love You would establish me blameless in holiness. God, I want Your love, I want Your standard of love to be manifested and evident in my life. God, I'm inviting You now, Holy Spirit, come and change me, radically transform me into the image of You. Make me more like You. I want to love just like You do. When God answers this prayer, He makes us holy. See, too often I find myself completely put off by sinners. Sinners do what sinners do. They're sinners. They sin. But I'm more... The love of the Father was laying down His life for them. Too often I'm bothered by immature believers. But Jesus said, I didn't come for the healthy, I came for the sick. I'm aggravated by weaker brothers. I'm frustrated by those who can't seem to get their act together. And I need God to make me abound and increase in love. I need Him to work in me what I can't work in myself. I need Him to completely transform me. I need this prayer to wreck me. I need Him to make me holy. But Holy Spirit, we're here this morning. We thank You for this word. We thank You for the word of God. We thank You for the ministry, the life that it gives, how it opens our eyes. We thank You how it convicts us. We thank You how it wounds us. We thank You how it exposes our complete inadequacy. But Father, we thank You that You're faithful to fill every area where we're empty. Every area where we have nothing, God, we thank You that You're willing to fill because of Your great love with which You loved us, God. And we ask You today, Father, Lord, that You would make us to increase and abound in love. Father, in ways that we've never even thought possible before. Lord, in ways that would make the world, that would put the world in a place of awe. Lord, You promised that the world would know that we were Your disciples because of our love. God, I ask You for grace, fellowship, and every believer here, Lord, for the testimony of holy love to be on our hearts in an abundant and increasing way, God. Lord, we need You. We need Your grace and Your power to change us. And we thank You that You've given us everything that we need for life and godliness. So we ask You for more love, Lord, at work in our hearts. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.